Hey guys, so my Jewish Aunt Miriam was at a restaurant with a bunch of her friends, and the waiter comes over and he says, "Hey ladies, I'm just checking on you. Is anything okay?"
Wow.
All right, there's five stories in our inbox today, right? How are you guys doing?
Good.
I'm fantastic. Yeah?
Dwayne, you're going on vacation next week?
I am. I'm super excited. Yeah. It's...
So the internet will be safe for a week.
Or will it? I'll have some extra time. My nephew graduated from high school, and we usually get the family together whenever one of the kids graduates.
Wow.
So we are all going to rent a house and hang out and play board games and go hiking and do all sorts of stuff.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And you are going to have free time and Wi-Fi, so...
Yeah, I know, right?
Watch out.
If not, I'm going to have to hack a satellite.
I'm bored. I think I'll hack a satellite.
Right?
We've played with satellite stuff.
I'm sure you have.
How do you find the connection?
It's awesome, actually.
Yeah?
It's really good. I'm using satellite internet as a backup here. It's pretty good.
You used to have to use special protocols and special apps and stuff, so this is just...
Yeah, now it's honestly... No, it's just like a normal router. You just plug it in, point it at stars, and
take it with you.
Right? I wish I could. I'd have to climb on the roof to grab it. No thanks.
Yeah.
Although I do have the backpack for it, so I could actually carry it around. I should have bought it.
Wait a minute. This isn't Elon Musk's thing.
It is.
You can't move those.
Sure you can.
What? Oh, can't you?
That's what I heard.
You're not supposed to. Maybe they sell them for boats. They sell them for planes.
Oh yeah, boats, RVs, that sort of stuff. Now,
really? Okay. Well, maybe Richard has one, and he said you couldn't move it, but maybe that was the original.
Yeah.
They sent Dwayne a backpack.
Yeah, I have a backpack. Literally, I should show you what it looks like. A space backpack. It holds the satellite dish and the.
Maybe they're trying to court the homeless community, and that's why they gave you the backpack.
Homeless internet.
All right, who's going to take the Android story?
I love Androids.
All right.
Let's do Androids.
Yeah, let's do it.
So this one, I think it's a little bit more hype than it should. So this is one of the reasons I wanted to point this one out. This is from Cyber News. The interesting thing here is if...
Can you read the headline?
Yeah, absolutely. So Android users beware. Malware mimics free VPNs, Netflix, and 60,000 more applications.
I think based on our experience, you could just stop before the colon. Android users, just beware.
Beware.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? And we won this week as iPhone users. after 24 years of marriage, I was able to get my wife to switch off of Android and over iPhone.
Wow. Congratulations.
Oh, I didn't realize that was the thing.
Right? I know. Yeah, I did. Yeah. That's impressive.
I didn't know she was a Linux enthusiast.
And I'd like to say that I convinced her, but when my daughter goes to college, she wants to be able to FaceTime her. And
so, there you go. You
know. What kept her on an Android for so long?
The fact that she was on an Android before.
Oh, okay.
You know, the iPhone is just a gateway drug to those $3,600 goggles that Apple just
put
out.
Well, the watches.
I still don't get, though. I don't get it. It looks slick.
Well, they've invented the HoloLens, basically.
Yeah, they're trying to compete with the HoloLens.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, isn't HoloLens like $5,000?
Yeah, it's in there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, ballpark, it's a cheaper HoloLens.
There's two different audiences. There's the VR audience, which Meta is definitely going for with an Oculus and now Meta Pro. And then there's the business where, you know, engineers will see the room and the virtual device that they're fixing.
I just think it's ironic that iPhone users are complaining about the price.
I know, right?
That's just irony, isn't it?
They're paying for the metal and glass. So
I know.
What I would love, speaking of business applications, you know, we see all these futuristic UIs for hacking. But then when you actually are in the real world of hacking, it's all like...
It's all command line.
It's all binary and command line. I would love to see an AR application that gives you the ability to see a server and all the open ports and like have it either highlighted by like hotter colors or cooler colors, depending on what versions they are and how old they are. And
what ExploitDB says about the service banners.
The services responding. And yeah, exactly. Like that would be fantastic to be able to look at an entire network.
So wait a minute. You look at the motherboard and you see all these little numbers crammed together in green. Is that what you're saying? And then you can't even tell them apart because they're so close together.
You're just
like hovering over the CPU.
You just drag it.
All right, enough foolishness. Tell me about this Android thing.
Back to our story. Okay, so this one, you know, from the onset, it's like, oh my God, tens of thousands of Android applications are carrying adware, malware, and malicious applications. You go, gosh, that's terrible. What should I even download? The thing here is, these applications are not in the official Google Play Store.
Ah.
So if you're side downloading applications, downloading them from a website, downloading them from somewhere on the internet, opening them from email or from a text message.
Your Uncle Max's computer.
There's your problem.
Yeah,
if you're picking up chewing gum off the floor.
and then re-chewing it. Yeah, so honestly, what's interesting here is, you know, normal Android users might go, well, who the hell would do that? But if you look at the things they're looking for, like, oh, I want TikTok without ads. So, of course, I'm going to have to download that from some shady internet website. Well, yeah, of course, you're going to now get some sort of
infection,
crappy virus. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Right. So, yeah. You know, it looks like the top apps of these 60,000 apps, we're looking at game cracks, game unlock features, free VPNs. Yeah, because everybody in the world wants to VPN your traffic for free. You know, here, there are only, listen, kids.
Here's thanks, some, comrade.
Yeah, yeah. Here's some
comrade VPN.
Here's some protection advice. If somebody offers you a free VPN, it's either malware or they want to see the data you're routing through that VPN. I mean, there's no reason not to do it.
There's an easy way to wrap this up. It's if the product is free, then you're the product.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you can avoid a lot of this and just go straight to the punch. All you do is you sell your data on the dark web and use the money to buy a VPN. Or
oh, that's a great idea. I'll just offer up my own data.
That's a great idea. Everybody can do that. What do you go to, darkweb.com, Patrick?
No, just send me your credit card number to Dwayne. It'll take care of it.
Yeah, I got you. I'll be your broker.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Yeah. Darkweb.com.
I bet that's a thing.
Yeah, don't go there.
Darkweb.zip? Ooh, maybe. Oh,
nice callback there. All right, so what's the deal? Do we need to worry about this, or do we just reboot our Android device? And
yeah, here's what you should do. The thing you did to get infected, don't do that. Like, don't go out to the internet, some random shady website. Like, you have the Google Play Store, and we admit here that it's really hard to keep sort of viruses off of Android. Don't make it even easier by going and downloading apps that nobody in the world has ever looked at to see whether they're secure.
Right.
Use your official stores.
And that aren't signed by somebody
you could sue. Yeah. Right. So that's that story.
All right. So the next story is another cyber news story. Microsoft pins MoveIt transfer exploits on CIOP.
CLOP. Yeah.
I have no idea what that even means, but there's a picture of Dwayne in his hoodie there. So
right, and you know it's funny. I think we need more corporate hoodies. Honestly, I mean, I feel like such a non-hacker when I do these lectures in a suit and tie.
But not only a corporate hoodie, but you need to get something black that goes over your face that you can breathe out of and see through.
I do, like a black sock.
Just a black mesh sock. Thing. Yeah.
Like I'm going to rob a bank.
Exactly. Just walk around like that.
Well, let me tell you about the story we did rob. No, never mind. Anyways, so the MoveIt. No, Patrick says no.
Oh, you got to tell about the guy who did ask us to do a stress test on a bank once.
Oh, he came to us and he's like, hey, listen, I'd like you guys to do, I want to do a red team engagement against this particular bank entity. We're like, yeah, absolutely, we do that all the time for financial organizations. All we need is a signed contract, you know, with someone from bank letter, you know, from the the domain saying it's okay, but whatever. He's like, no, I'm it's okay, I'm their service provider, I'll sign it. And we're like,
No,
that doesn't sound right. And he's like, and what we want this to be is we're testing the blue team, so we're not going to tell them anything about it. Like, it's just our little secret.
Wink, wink.
And then when you generate the report, give it to me, and I'll make sure they get it. We're yeah, we're not doing that.
No.
No, thanks. Good for you.
I got to tell this. We had an interview at a job fair once. We stopped going to job fairs after this. We were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
With a heavy Russian accent comes up to us, and he looked like he was like, less than 20. And he says, oh, I've been hacking Russian banks for years. And they beg me to stop, but I still hack them. And I'm like, so you're either a criminal or a liar. Pick, you know, one of those two.
You pick. Either way, get away from me.
If I had to guess, I'd say both.
A criminal liar.
For criminal liar, yeah. A liar who wants to be a criminal. That's not a good look.
Right.
So, yeah, needless to say, all right, let's come back to this. So Microsoft pins MoveIt transfer exploits on CLOP, which is a...
CL0P.
CL0P, my bad.
Please enlighten me. What is this?
Yeah, they're a Russian associated ransomware gang.
So CLOP is a ransomware gang?
Correct.
Okay.
It's their site. It's their extortion site.
Right.
Got it.
But this is an interesting one because it's so MoveIt is a piece of software that helps you replicate data from disparate sites. So if I have 10 different offices or 100 different offices around the world and I need the data replicated between those sites in a secure manner, you use MoveIt. MoveIt's an application that does that.
What about OneDrive?
Oh my God. I said a real application that would allow you to move data.
OneDrive is a virus that I just want to go away and get off my system.
Right? It is amazing how if you install a new Windows computer nowadays, you don't even notice it's there.
Nope, you don't.
You're like, but where did all my files go? Oh, they're in OneDrive now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
It's terrible.
But no, so what's interesting about this particular one is there is a management interface for replicating files. And what I don't quite understand is A, why there's a bazillion of them accessible on the internet, which makes no sense to me, but setting that aside, to distill this down, there is a patch that will fix this issue, but when you distill this down, this is a SQL injection bug. So this is plain and simple, doing SQL injection, lo and behold, you get full access remote code execution on the site. And then you can do all sorts of nefarious things.
This is kind of like when we found out that, you know, Amazon buckets were vulnerable and left open on the web. This is somebody, you know, putting data out on the web and it being like, oh, I'm going to have all my secret files up on this share. Oh, yeah, hackers can get to it.
Yeah, and what I find interesting about these types of hacks is, like, every piece of software is always considered secure until some security person looks at it, right?
Right, right.
We've even seen that in our pen tests where we've had companies using, you know, point of sale systems where they are just wide open. And you go, okay, has nobody ever looked at this application? And it's just I don't think they have, right?
It's the lens. So right. Carl, you've in the last years you've kind of come over to the religious belief that security is a feature.
The dark side.
In a way that all developers need to. And you've been really paying attention to security in the projects because we've been talking about.
Right.
So it's really about that mindset, and it's hard to get that mindset.
Yeah.
And so hopefully the people who listen to this are getting it. We're preaching to the choir. But, you know, until all developers have this understanding of what could go wrong, and then there's a lot of homework to figure out, like, okay, how do I write this in a secure way? Most people are so happy just to have a solution. They don't look for reasons to disqualify that solution.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. Oh my.
Yeah.
All right. So
needless to say, the reason we brought this one up is because although, you know, it sounds like, okay, yeah, there's a 0 day for MoveIt out there, but we really haven't been hit yet. There is a active POC. A lot of times when we talk about a 0 day, sometimes it's a researcher finds something.
Yeah.
I think last week we had talked about the fingerprint scanners on phones being broken, and that was a 0 day. It hasn't been patched.
Yeah.
Right. But it was a security researcher. There was very specialized hardware. It was the fact that that it would happen is super rare. Yeah. In this particular situation, it wasn't discovered because a researcher was looking at it. It was discovered as an active exploit out on the internet. And there's already a gang using this to extort companies for ransomware payouts. Geez. So you want to be careful there. So if you're using it.
So if you're using MoveIt,
patch it. Yeah. I was waiting. I thought that was going to be the intro. Who wants to talk about MoveIt? MoveIt.
MoveIt. I like to move it. Move it.
That's a good song.
That's a great song.
Bad software, good song. I can't say that. I don't know the software.
My daughter used to sing that when she was 8.
It's a fantastic song.
All right. So I guess we're done with that one then. Yes?
Yes, sir.
That's the Madagascar penguins, I think.
It is. Yeah. That was Madagascar. The lemurs.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to admonish Dwayne for starting those wildfires in Canada. We'll be right back. And we're back. You're listening to Security This Week. I'm Carl Franklin. That's Patrick Hines and Dwayne LaFlotte. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going? You know what happens when you try and crack my password on a cloud server in Canada? It starts on fire. I didn't even know, but apparently.
The heat of a thousand suns emerges.
So my bad, Canada. My bad.
So Dwayne's password is actually code that overloads the circuit.
Just to prepare you, next week, where if all goes well, we're going to have an interview with Jeremy Lickness from Microsoft, who's working on authentication for .NET 8. And it's going to be a special edition of Security This Week. We're going to talk about top X common mistakes in security made by developers. So
as time allows, we just keep going.
On a very special blossom.
Security of best practices.
Yes. How low can you go?
Yeah.
Okay. Gigabyte. So when did we talk about that MSI motherboard that had a security flaw in it?
A while back.
January? I
think it was January.
Yeah, that was different because that was the flaw came out and nobody had any solution. This is Gigabyte saying, hey, we released a firmware to update a fix of vulnerability.
Yeah.
It affects 270 of their motherboards.
Good God.
That's models, not 270 total. But it's good. This is a vendor who found, somehow somebody reported or they found a vulnerability and they fixed it. Mm-hmm. This is how we want to see it. The one we were talking about from way back, that was where we're trying to play catch up, where it was divulged or discovered, but there was no fix.
Yeah. And you're right. That situation was a vulnerability was discovered. And then a lot of, nefarious websites hosted firmware updates, and I put the air quotes out there, for your motherboard, which was an MSI motherboard.
Yeah. Yep.
So the moral of that story was, like, don't download firmware from other places.
Right.
So I do have something to add here, and that is when you're writing your disaster recovery plans, which I'm sure you all do.
Everybody's going to do, right?
Yeah. I sit up late at night doing that.
Honestly, I hope they do, actually.
Line one, go to the pub. Line two, drink yourself silly. Line three, go to sleep. Line four, blame somebody else in the morning.
Okay.
Call Dwayne for ransomware that'll cover it all up.
But in seriousness, so when you're working on your report, one of the things you should think about is that there are times when an exploit will come out that will force you to take down a system in order to protect yourself. So, for example, if you had a system, this isn't an example of that, but if you had a system that was mission critical and a vulnerability came out and there's no mitigation, you might have to do without that system for a month while you wait for a patch.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to think about that stuff, like the what-if scenarios. This is military planning. This is like, okay, if they do this, what are we doing for defense? You have to think about, like, how would you deal with this stuff? Because it's these surprising, funny bounces that really hurt companies and derail their plans. This is a great example of what happens when you can't mitigate. There's nothing to mitigate with. You just have to wait for the fix.
Patrick's okay with shooting the hostage. It just...
Of course. Hostage is always assumed dead as soon as they take them.
As soon as they take them.
You've seen it. You shoot through the hostage.
Hostage taker.
You don't want me to negotiate your hostage situation. Trust me.
If anybody takes me hostage, please call Carl.
Yeah.
Not Patrick.
I'll go down to the pub, get drunk.
I subscribe to the lethal weapon version of hostage taking. Shoot me.
All right, so what do we do here?
So that's a good question, right? This is just an update. Honestly, if you're running a Gigabyte motherboard, go out to the Gigabyte website. Please don't go to some rando website and update.
Right.
What was discovered here is there's a way for you to manipulate the UEFI secure boot to have it run an executable that isn't necessarily one that was a part of the firmware.
Okay.
And it was discovered by a security researcher. So this isn't something that's been sort of exploited in the wild. It's not particularly something that's going to be as useful to ransomware vendors.
Yeah.
Vendors.
No, but you're going to add it to your...
Oh, absolutely.
Your repertoire. Because you know why? Because 90% of the people who own these motherboards aren't going to hear about this story.
Right.
They're not going to patch their firmware because they never patch their firmware. Mm-hmm. And when we get inside an organization, we're going to see this kind of motherboard, yep. and we're going to say, what are the odds they patched it? Oh, they didn't. And then we're going to use it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yep. So this is a great way to...
this is why you giggle when you hear these stories.
I do. I get all excited. It's like awesome. Christmas every day.
You're much more likely to patch your phone. You're much more likely to patch your desktop, yeah. even your servers. People don't patch the firmware, typically.
You know what's funny is I was just thinking.
So how do you even check the version of the firmware that's installed on your motherboard if you're running Windows? Don't you have to like reboot and then see it as it buzzes by, go into the BIOS and all that stuff?
Yeah. So on some of them, yes. But here's the deal. If you don't know the version of your motherboard, you probably haven't updated it recently. So go check, right? Download the update and run it.
Make it part of the inventory.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are so many things on, even on my computer, like I'm looking around, like I have a camera that you all have cameras. Mm-hmm. I'm running a Logitech Brio 4K camera, really nice. I don't know when the last time I updated the firmware on that is.
You know, it looks a little fuzzy. I don't know, man.
Somebody's taking it over right now.
Yeah, let me click on that for you.
Yeah, it's going through a proxy.
Yeah, so I mean, it's those little things you never think about, like update the cameras, update the motherboard, the mice. Your G13, whatever it is you're running.
I know why it's fuzzy, because your evil twin is in the other room, like downloading gigabytes of of pirated movies.
Pirated movies and hacks.
Yeah.
All of the dark web is actually run out of my house.
Yeah, darkweb.com.
So sometimes it gets a little...
It gets pretty dark.
Yeah, right.
So if you go to Dwayne.darkweb.com, that's his personal page on the dark web.
Oh my God, now I want to go there and see if it's a real site.
All right, Atomic Wallet, what the heck? More crypto stolen. Oh my God, that could never happen. How does that even happen?
It's been a bad month, week,
year,
quarter for crypto. So Coinbase is starting to be harassed by the SEC, as is Binance. Mm.
Binance?
Yeah, Binance is one of the largest exchanges, Chinese owned. And the SEC has filed charges against them, I think. And now,
okay.
I thought Coinbase was on good ground, but somebody at the SEC has charged that they're operating without a license. I don't even know what that means
In
that terms. So this is the Atomic Wallet. The developers are investigating reports of a large-scale theft from users' wallets with over 35 million reportedly stolen. Who knows how much is actually stolen? And so these wallets are, you know, very handy. You can, you know, get your coins, put them in them, sometimes, you know, send and receive money through them. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know with convenience comes risk and you know, problems with security. I don't know where is safe other than offline. So there's offline storage option for crypto where you basically print out the code. God help you if you lose it.
Right.
You lose the code, you lose the crypto.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people are like reluctant to put things into that cold offline storage.
Yeah.
And so they're looking for a wallet or an app. And so this Atomic Wallet is one. I've never used it, but I'm sure that it's going to take a hit, especially if they don't find out very quickly how to prevent this in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad I didn't jump on that bandwagon. I mean, it is the biggest Ponzi scheme in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
I mean, if you're in on the beginning of it, you made out like a bandit at the expense of everybody else.
I'm still up.
You're in?
I'm still up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not massively in, but...
You're not telling us what coin you have, though, right?
How do I...
ETH, what's that? Ethereum is my favorite.
How do I buy my dark web nukes if I don't have Ethereum? I mean, honestly... Carl.
I mean,
seriously.
Honestly, we keep some crypto on hand just in case we need it immediately.
Right.
Because the problem is you can't get it immediately, typically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does take a little while.
Not without paying, you know, huge by going to dodgy places.
Well, you know, but you may wake up when you need it and it'll be worth zero. So
maybe.
True.
But
true.
It's a risk I take.
Yeah, okay.
That's why we hold Cougarans too. You know,
not just call me.
I know. Which
one? What? Cougarans.
I'm not that old. Oh, wait.
Haven't you ever seen the spy movies when the spy pulls out their go bag and it's got different currencies?
Yes.
Just have to have all the currencies.
Oh, a Cougaran is a legitimate currency of some country?
South Africa.
South Africa?
It's South African gold. So it's more like John Wick when you
open I knew that.
The bag and you
have... That's true. That's true. Yeah, they open the bag with the coins.
With the gold
coins. Notice it's like one coin for every favor. So everything like a body cleaned up, coins for every, you know, for five bodies.
You want a sandwich at the local assassin shop? Yeah, it's a coin.
Yeah.
That happens.
Funny. All right. So what can we do about this, Patrick? Don't buy crypto? Yeah, okay. Next.
That's probably not a bad. If you don't, it's a risk. It's a risky asset. It's an insured asset. It's very fluctuating. Is it fun to play around with? Yeah, it's fun to play around with. Think about what'll happen. But you know, I lost some crypto in the when Cryptopia down in New Zealand went away. I might get it back. I might not.
Is that a company or an event? Cryptopia.
Cryptopia.
It was a company that had an event.
Post-apocalyptic finance. Cryptopia.
That's what I'm thinking. Cryptopia.
It's very post-apocalyptic. They got hacked years ago.
Okay.
And I'm still waiting for them to restore some of my currency.
I mean, the thing is that you got all these names of things that are different, but they all have crypto. Like crypto banana. What the heck is that? You know? I'm going to hit you with my crypto banana.
I thought that was an art exhibition that a guy ate off the wall.
Probably. Probably. Banksy item of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet every single combination of crypto and every other noun is taken as a domain name.
Oh, yeah. And soon it'll be AI.
As if anybody buys domain names anymore for anything because the search engines are so good. You don't need them.
Hey, darkweb.com, I did check. It's not available.
Of course it isn't.
But darkweb.life is.
And that's how many years you'll get.
I might take that.
You know what? That's
you start if you deal with that stuff.
What you do is darkweb4.life. Dark web for life.
Right? That's a great idea. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do.
That's why they pay me the big bucks.
That's better than Labyrinth of Pain.
Nothing's better than Labyrinth of Pain. Okay, so now we've kept you in suspense long enough. Yes.
Suspense.
This is very sad.
There's nothing sad about this.
Another one bites the dust.
I don't know if it bites the dust. This is a big one, though.
It's a nail in the coffin. Come on. So password managers have been the bane of our existence, you know, as you recall.
But we need them. It's not like we have a good alternative.
Yeah, I know, right? LastPass was the first one, and you guys use one, and I use a different one. But this is KeePass, K-E-E Pass.
Yep.
And they at least fixed the bug.
Yep.
And I don't know if there was any compromises, but KeePass version 2.54 fixes bug that leaked clear text master password.
It was a security researcher, so it doesn't seem to be that anybody found it and stole all the passwords. There's no indication that there was an actual leak.
But it was somebody's master password or the master password for all of it?
I think it was the ability for you to get the master password for a targeted individual.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you... All right. So for those of you who haven't used password managers... When you install your password manager, it asks you for one big password usually. And it depends on what you're using. Like if you're using KeePass, there's this big long master password that you need to remember. And you could make it short. And if you do, you should be backhanded. It should be like a really long password. For me, I'm using 1Password. And 1Password requires me, when I'm installing on a new system, to have this massive long serial number and a very long password. So there's usually a combination of things.
Right.
In this particular case... In the master password itself, when you type the master password in, you're typing it into a text box, right? And that text box is usually a secure, in this particular case, a secure text box EX, which just means it's a text box that you can type into, and it's supposed to be secure. It's not, when you type your letters in, you know those little magical circles that come up?
Yeah, I love those magical circles.
Yeah, because they obfuscate everything.
They do.
So I can tell you, we were just on a pen test engagement where we were breaking into, actually it was a POS system, point of sale system.
It was a bank.
I can't mention that. Shh, keep that, Carl.
It's a bank that some guy on the street asked us to break into for him. Said, don't tell the bank.
I need you to break into this ATM here.
Hey.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Send it to me. No, so it was this POS application where you could load up an encrypted password that was there was an encrypted password on the hard drive, and you could load up that encrypted password, and it loaded it into one of these text boxes. So it said, hey, okay, here's the 28 character password, whatever it is. But we couldn't see what the password was because it was a bunch of zeros. So all we did was we dumped the memory for the application and then search for it.
Of course.
Right? Search for the text box. Same type of thing here, right? If you are able to get access to this particular, you know, dialog box,
which is not trivial or drive-by kind of thing,
you'd have to be on the box to do it.
Right.
Then yes, you can crash the app and you can read through it and you can see some obfuscated letters as to what the password might have been. So in this particular case, they said, okay, well, if the password was password, you would see A-S-S-W-O-R-D. You would see the back part of the password. And then you could guess what the first letter is, right?
Yeah. G.
Gas word.
What's my gas word?
What if it's just ass word?
Well, then it would be just SS. W-R-D.
You know, I tried to do this podcast with adults, and I brought 2 5-year-olds.
Guilty.
I'm going to be this many.
Yeah, you are. You are. No, so, it's an interesting, it's an interesting exercise. And we as researchers do this all the time. We've done this plenty of times where some secure bit of data is released on the screen and we want to figure out what it actually is. Mm-hmm. We'll crash the app and we'll read through memory. Or we'll actually hook the app and we'll watch it run. We'll step through the assembly as it's running and watch the strings get assembled.
Right.
So there are multiple ways to manipulate.
That's a little bit harder. How does one crash an app besides just closing the process?
Oh, use procmon.
Wait. Is this a criminal career advice?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'll give you this. This is what I do.
All right. So here we go.
It's criminal career advice.
You ready?
Well, I'm ready.
Okay. Use procmon.
Okay.
Process monitor.
This is a pregnant pause for my criminal career advice. All right, ready?
All right, here you go.
So use procmon, so sysinternals. Go to, just type sysinternals procmon. Actually, a new one was just released that even has more features.
Wow.
So standard Windows, signed app by Microsoft isn't going to be picked up by any antivirus.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to run it. You're going to find the process that's loaded. In this particular case, might be KeePass, whatever it may be. Ours was a POS application.
Yeah, it's easy to find.
Right-click on the process. And say you want to create a full memory dump for that process.
Ah.
So it will spit out every piece of memory that's being used by that app will be pushed down into one dump file. Then you can use Windabug.
You can use your pooper scooper to clean up that dump file.
All right. Clean the dump.
Open aisle 3.
No, you can open up Windabug and just literally load that dump up and you'll see everything that's in memory, all of the strings, all of the stack.
And nothing's obfuscated or anything like that.
Right.
No, everything that's running. So, yeah.
It's not that hard.
Well.
Super easy to do. Takes a couple minutes.
Wow.
And you need to know how to reverse.
Actually. There are such things as secure strings. I know there are in .NET.
There are. Yep.
And you can do that. It slows down your app a little bit, but that prevents this kind of thing.
Well, the way they fix this is they're using Windows API instead to fix the problem.
Yep.
Basically, they tried to roll their own instead of letting the Windows API do it.
No good. No bueno.
So I would say this is not, I think this is bad optics for them, password managers, but it's not a killing blow like we saw with LastPass. People still need them.
Yeah, you need to get a password manager, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been using Bitwarden now for a long time. You guys have been using 1Pass for a long time.
Yep.
Those have held up so far.
Yeah.
And you need to keep paying attention. So if you see a problem, you can act on it because nothing's good forever. Who knows? Maybe 1Password will eventually have a big problem and you'll have to switch.
Right.
Sure.
So knowing the landscape and where you'd go to, that contingency planning, if you can start getting that habit of contingency planning in your life, then you'll do better.
What's easy to do, and it takes time, but it's easy to figure out, is to change your passwords. You can basically keep a list of all of the sites that you have in your password manager. Not the passwords, but just a list of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to each one of them and you say, oops, forgot my password. And they email you. If you have an email account, that's all you need. They email you and then you click on the link and you generate a new password and you put it in there and your new password manager can take it up. So now, even if somebody hacks your old password manager and gets your password, which you've changed by now, the passwords to your sites are changed. So who cares?
And two-factor authentication also mitigates a lot of this stuff too.
Yes. Yeah.
Most of the stuff.
So that's it. It was kind of clickbaity, but that's our MO these days. You gotta wait to hear the good stuff.
Yeah, and honestly, I think it's a good thing because we keep talking about password managers, and then you're going to see things in the news like this get all hyped because people, you know they should use password managers now. Oh my God, are they terrible?
Yep.
This one's hype. It's important. It should be patched. But unless you're the target of a nation state, this is probably not an exploit you need to worry about right now.
It's kind of like, we'll all be dead in 15 minutes. Details at 11.
Yeah. What's that, Kentucky Fried Movie or GrooveTube or one of those
Something
things?
Something like that.
So wear your seatbelt, kids. Even if you heard that somebody died who was wearing their seatbelt in a car crash, wear your seatbelt because
one out of hundreds of thousands that didn't.
99.9999999% of the time, it saves your life.
Yep. You know, when I was in the service, some of the installations, I think some of them still do it, would have two cars prominently displayed that had had traffic accidents. Mm-hmm. And there was always one that was like crushed. It was like looked like it was totally destroyed. And there was one that was just like minor damage. And they always had signs that said the crushed car, everyone survived wearing seatbelts. And the lightly damaged car, somebody died. Because they weren't wearing seatbelts.
Wow.
So those lessons, those actually took hold to me when I was in the service.
Yeah.
Good lessons to know.
Apparently now, in driver's ed in Connecticut anyway, or at least they did a few years ago.
They make you be ejected through the windshield too?
No. They show you these traumatic videos of car crashes where people die.
We did that when I was in school.
Yeah, I never had to go through that.
Yeah.
But it turned off my one of my stepdaughters from ever getting a license.
To driving?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, okay. She was horrified.
I wanted to know if I'd get a copy.
You're a sick man.
I was a little twisted back in high school.
On that note, children.
I was a little twisted back in high school.
Sick, sick, sick.
Shoot the hostage.
All right, guys. See you next week with Jeremy Lignis.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.